God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're grateful for the freedom that we have to assemble together, freedom we have by God's grace, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Wayne Pitts will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills this afternoon. At 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the interesting and informative series on church history. And at 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will continue the discipleship class on how to get the most from God's Word, how to study the greatest source of truth available to man, the Bible. In our 5 p.m. evening service, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. Wednesday evening, Pastor Otero will continue teaching on the theology of Bible doctrine. Wednesday's topic will be on what may be known about God from his word. A final note, next Sunday, June 9th, there will be a congregational business meeting directly following the morning worship service, and all are invited to attend and participate. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of the great hymns of the faith. We will be singing the first and last verses of the hymns this morning. Please turn to hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Continue our worship with hymn number 129, At the Cross, the first and last verses.
Oh,
please stand now as we sing hymn number 19, The God of Abraham Prays.
Before I leave you in prayer, I want to give the good news that our good friend, Jack Van Dyken, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, is doing well. Perhaps Monday or Tuesday will be out of the hospital after the second time for bypass, open heart surgery for bypass and valve. And we have been a little bit afraid during the week. I spent time with him in the hospital on Friday. And talk about it. And 83 years old young man. He said, Pastor, get me out of here so that I can go and preach. And I told him, certainly you only can preach in our church. We will not allow you in any other place. So good to have faithful men of God who have served the Lord for so many years in the Air Force as a pilot in World War II and then as a chaplain for 30 years. How wonderful to have men like that, and how privileged I am to have him as my friend, that I can sit at his feet and learn the practical part of life. Even though I'm not too young, I'm still learning from people who have been ahead of me, and that's the key in life, to learn from those who went ahead of you and learn the discipline of life. Let's pray together. Father, we are glad this morning that we can gather together as a church body and worship the Lord Jesus. We are so glad that you said, remember me till I come. We are so glad, Father, that you said, go and preach and teach and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and I will be with you till the end. Father, we hold that promise. Those two promises as precious to us, the church of the living God, the church that was founded on Christ Jesus, will remain until he come, and he will take us into heaven, into the preciousness of that palace in heaven. Thank you, Father, that nobody can stop us to be your children, and nobody can overcome the church of the living God. And now, Father, we are worshiping you this morning, together with a host of people over the radio broadcast in KKMC, KKXX, over the internet across America, across the world. And we are so grateful, Father, that you allow us to bring this service of worship to so many people across America. And around the world, Father, we receive letters, emails, we receive suggestions for our services and our internet webpage. Thank you, Father, that now the people who are listening are interested in the service. And our purpose, O God, is to bring Jesus Christ, to lift him up, because you promised that if we lift Jesus up, then he will draw all kinds of men unto him. Our purpose in our church is to bring Christ, and so the others be saved, and they too may become part of the kingdom of God. Father, we are grateful this week for the improvement that you have placed in the life of many people. My own daughter, Miriam Lacey, which is doing much well and in a better condition, for Mildred Plica, for Pastor Van Dyken. Thank you, Lord, that you were pleased to help us and to be in very difficult moments. We never be alone. You were with us. And Father, I'm grateful that some of our people can take vacations. And I remember Brother Jack and Mary now in Lake Tahoe. Thank you, Lord, that you brought Ken back and after a refreshing time and vacation. Thank you, Father, that you allow us this privilege in our life. Father, we pray that those people who are listening today and the internet, they may be able to understand the implications of thy word, the holiness of a mighty God, and the power of that God that hath power to save. We pray for those who are here this morning and for our visitors, that they too may worship the Lord with us. And today, Father, it is our tradition that on the first Sunday of the month we have the Lord's Supper. And Father, we are rejoicing today that we are remembering Jesus. He told us to remember him through the Lord's Supper. And we do so in this church every first Sunday of every month. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to say that Jesus' blood and his body covered our sins and was the payoff of our substitute in Calvary's cross. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries, for Fred and Carol Lewis. Now in America, Carol is improving day after day, and they are looking forward to return to Siberia on the beginning of August. Father, we pray for Carol and Ruth Knott as they go church by church again, reporting after long 16 years of ministry in Huasca, Spain. For Eusebio and Maritza Perez in that beautiful city of Benalmadena, in Spain. We pray that they be able to purchase the new property and expand his church. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in our town was a refuge for those in need. For Ruben and Irene Zachard, Lord, I was able to visit with Ruben this weekend, and he gave me the great report that his church is stable, and financially they are paying all the bills, and the mission now became a full church, and we thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, for the Christian Sport Ministry here in the city of San Jose, for Martha Peretti with the drug addicts in Buenos Aires, and with the cost of living now devaluating the peso 3 times. Oh, Father, we pray that Martha be able to continue to ministry in this beautiful area where she can show the people how to work and then share a devotional with the power of God's word. And then for Danielle Lacey, they just came from the East Coast for a long week on the races, and for the ministry that he has done in sharing the word of God with the people who race and with their families and their relatives. Thank you, Lord, because you empower people in their own gift to share the gospel with others. And Lord, we are going to have graduation here this coming Friday, and we pray the blessings from above as we produce a service that will honor the Father and challenge those who graduate for further steps in the life that you have prepared for them. We pray that the testimony of God's word, the testimony of the character of those who graduate, may give a challenge to those who are here, will be here on Friday. Lord, thank you for the choir who praise your name. Thank you for our brother Plica who reads the Bible faithfully. And thank you for your word, Lord, that we draw the manna of life from it. I pray for myself that you will guide me today and anoint my lips that I may speak with a full heart about the beauty and the power and the glory of a great God that we have. Bless us, O God, and thank you for the offering. Thank you for providing for us every Sunday. And so we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
My friends, this is Pastor Otero. I'm speaking from the back of the auditorium at the time of offering, and I want to remind you again of our phone number is 408-778-2595. 408-778-2595. We'd like to help you, and if you have a prayer request, if you have some concerns in your life, please give us a call, leave your message, and we will be back in touch with you. Remember that. We are here because we care. Doesn't matter where you live, in Japan, in Italy, in Michigan, or in California, or if you are right here in the auditorium, we love to share with you the counsel of God's Word. 408-778-2595. May God richly bless you. Let's join the service in progress.
That every day that
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are able to come before your presence because of the person and work of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your written word. Thank you for your law that showed us our sin. Thank you for sending Christ the Lord, who perfectly kept the law, and by your mercy we are found in him and his substitutionary death and life, dead to sin and alive in him. We thank you that we are not under law, but under grace. We love your law now, and thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit, that we not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the truths of your word. We pray that you would bless him in his words as we strive to learn more about you, the only true God. We pray for those listening who are outside of the household of faith, that they may believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. Now, this Sunday, we will start a series of studies in what we call the famous Ten Commandments. Now, these commandments are found for the first time in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament. As you know, the book of Exodus is called in Hebrew the second book of Moses. And Exodus is a Greek name that when the people made the Septuagint, they have adopted because of the topic of the book. Now, Exodus is the second book of the Old Testament and follow on the heels of the book of history, which is the book of Genesis, who gave us the beginning, the start of God's plans and purpose, and also the book of Genesis reveal the building up of the nation of Israel. Now, in the book of Exodus, we are given the account of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. They were actually a guest in Egypt until they become a slave in Egypt. In the book of Exodus, as you read it, you see the great deliverance of God. Now, also, the book of Exodus gave us the story of their wandering on the desert. And now on chapter 20 is given the verbal word of God as he dictated to the children of Israel 10 major laws that he considered necessary. God considered those laws necessary to express his person and to reveal his way of life. Now, you know this in chapter 20 and in verse 1, that the Bible doesn't say 10 commandments. The Bible said, and God spake all of these words, saying. Well, a lot of people said, man have labeled these the 10 commandments. It's not so. If you put one hand in chapter 20, and you move your Bible to chapter 34, and in verse 28, you find there God himself calls these the Ten Commandments. Now, to be fair, the word commandment was an addition. The Hebrew word is words, the ten words. That's why my series of studies are called the Ten Words of God. Let me read verse 28 in Exodus chapter 34. And he was there with the Lord, talking about Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant. And here is the official word. The Ten Commandments was the translation right from the Hebrew. But the real raw Hebrew said the Ten Words of God. So that's for your information. Now, the more I study the Ten Commandments, and this is the third time I preach these series in this church, the more I am convinced they are absolutely fundamental to every concept of righteousness that the Scripture teaches about, specifically in the book of Romans. And the Sunday school class here in our church, from the adults to the very little ones, they are studying paragraph by paragraph the book of Romans. And so these studies of the Ten Commandments will be a great matching to your studies in the book of Romans. Now, as I said in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, we have the listings of all these commandments. And the first one really begins in verse 2 and summarized in verse 3 and press upon us the question, who is your God? That is the pressure that puts upon your mind. Who is your God? So I'm going to read again verse 2 and verse 3 of the commandments here, because chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 3 is the first commandment. Look at what the Bible says. I am the Lord thy God. Notice that in the
If you are using a King James Bible, the word Lord is in capital. And by this time, people in our church know that the word Lord means Jehovah when he's in capital. And I am Jehovah, thy God. And the word God is the word Elohim that you find in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God, Elohim. All right? So I am the Jehovah, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then verse 3 summarizes the commandment and says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So the commandment answered to the question, who is your God? Who is your God? A remarkable commandment. We can use that commandment in the New Testament very well. It's a commandment that relates between a person, an individual, and God. And who is your God? And God does a great job in this commandment in a very simple way. I wish that all of you will know Hebrew or Arabic and see these letters flowing through. How precious, how simple is just flowing through you how God expressed himself. And we're going to see three things that I want to notice in this commandment. First, the identification of God's name. First will be the identification of God's name, and it's that right there in verse 2. And then, secondly, the identification of God by his work. The identification of God by his work, his performance is expressed there in verse 2. And then thirdly, the identification of God by his counsel in verse 3. So there are three little things that I'm going to bring to your attention so that you remember the commandment of God. Sometimes in life when you are little, I remember when I was, I guess, 3 or 4 years old, I don't remember anything about 3 or 4 years old, but I remember that from that time, my mother started pressing on me on memorizing the scripture. One of the things that I memorized was the commandments. That's very important. Then the Lord's Prayer and so on. And it's wonderful to memorize, but it's good to understand what they said. All right. As you grow up, you memorize these and you keep it in your mind. And you remember those who do not commit adultery, do not do this and the other. But it's good to remember the commandments, but also to understand what they mean to you and to me. And some people have the idea that these commandments are all and apply to Israel only. And others people have the idea that they apply only to the people of the Old Testament and not to us. Now you will see how actual they are. They are like tomorrow newspaper. And Satan knows that. And you remember a judge, I think it was in Alabama, they have the Ten Commandments and back in his office. He went to court. Even to the Supreme Court, because America, you know, surprisingly, America do not want this judge to exhibit the Ten Commandments. Now, if it was all, it means nothing. Why Satan is so afraid about the Ten Commandments? You will know as we spend good 10 Sundays and looking into each one of them. Now, let's get the first one. Who is your God? First, if I want to worship God, I want to know his name, all right? Look in verse 2. They said, I am the Lord thy God. As I told you, the word Lord is the word Jehovah. Just for your security, I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. There, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Israel is asked a question. And the question that was asked to Israel is, Moses asked a question to God. God is sending Moses to liberate Israel. And Moses said, God, will you be kind for me and print a little just card with my name and your name on it so that when I show the card, they know that you sent me. And God did for that. Look at what the Bible says in Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, Thy God, the God of your fathers, has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? You see that? He said, the children of Israel, they were used to the name of God. And so what are you going to say? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, Yahweh, Yahweh. We translated Jehovah, Jehovah, which means the self-existing one. The self-existing one. I am the I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah has sent me unto you. Now you got an idea when God in Exodus chapter 20 in verse 2 said to Moses, I am Jehovah thy God. That's the name of my God. Jehovah my God. Now, in the Spanish Bible, in Psalm 23, you in English have these words, the Lord is my shepherd. But my mother and grandmother, being Arabics, converted to Christianity, they love to have scriptures on the wall. Because before they had pictures of things. But now they love that. And I never forget this. And I think about it was 9 or 10. It was a big, 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 big picture. And was Psalm 23rd, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But in Spanish it said, Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so across the street from my house, remember, it was a small neighborhood. Well, we were in Buenos Aires with a lot of people. Well, we live in the suburbs and the neighbors know each other. The children go to one house and the other. And my neighbors were visiting, and he was a secret police, an FBI fellow, by the name Joseph. And he came into my room, and he looked at the text, and he said, I wonder who Jehovah is. And I don't know how the answer. I was 19 years old. I had no answer. Who is Jehovah? Well, the Bible answers who is Jehovah. Now remember the original name, I am. The word I am is Jehovah. Now I'm going to show you who is Jehovah today so that you know who is your God. If you move your Bible to the Gospel of John in chapter 8 and verse 58, page 628, if you use the Bible that is in the pew, 628, John Gospel chapter 8, in verse 28, you will know who is Jehovah. Remember, the word Jehovah means I am, the existing one. And in John Gospel chapter 8, and in verse 58, Jesus is answering to the Pharisees, and he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, he did not say I was there, he said I am. Now, if somebody answered like this to you, means nothing, but not to the Jew. Look in verse 59. Then took they up stones and cast at him. Now, why would the Jew be upset that Jesus said, I am, before Abraham? Because Jesus said, I'm Jehovah. I'm Jehovah. And the Jew thought that that was insulting, that that was something that will is too much assumption that you are God. So the first commandment identified his name, Jehovah, Jesus. Now I'm going to give you another verses to show you that corroborates with this. If you move your Bible from John to Hebrews 13, verse 8, page 710. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, page 710, the Bible said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. And that proves then that is everlasting, the self-existing one. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday to them, today and forever. And there are some cults who believe that Jesus is not God. And also they believe that the Bible never say that Jesus is God, denying then the first commandment. But the Bible teaches otherwise. If you are in Hebrews 13, go to Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 8. And look at what the Bible says about Jesus. But unto the Son, he is God. God said, thy throne, what? O God. Amazing enough, and every translation is the same. And so I'm satisfied. I hope you are satisfied. I'm satisfied that this commandment of God and this first commandment identify clearly who is God. The God that the Bible identifies as God is Jehovah of the Old Testament, which is the pre-incarnated state of Christ, and then Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And if Jesus is your God, you got the God of the Bible. And you got the God of the Old Testament, and you got the God of the Old Commandments. The identification of his name, Jesus. Now, the identification of his work. If we go back to Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 2, the Bible tells us what was the work that God really did. I am Jehovah, I am Jesus thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God took Israel out of a slavery from Egypt. Now, this is not rhetorical. There is a book in the Bible, is a book of history in Acts. And if you move your Bible to Acts in chapter 13, you will find in verse 17, corroboration of that fact. Acts chapter 13 and verse 17, you will find what the scripture said about that incident. Acts 13, verse 17, the God of his people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwell as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. So that's a confirmation for you that the Old Testament say one thing and the New Testament rectify and approve it. And so this is not just history from Israel. This is the actual work of God. So we're going to identify God's word. God the Father, Jehovah, the pre-incarnated state of Jesus, took Israel with a mighty hand out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, bondage. It's interesting, that word. Out of the land of bondage into freedom. Now, how this identify Jesus with us? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. And I'm going to read for you verses 1 to 11. I know it's familiar with many of you. It's page 688 in our Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 11, and you're going to see how the work of Christ identify with the work of God of the Old Testament. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2, page 688, verse 1. And you were the believers at Ephesus, had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And now verse 2 and 3 give us the stage of every believer before being saved. Look at what the Bible says. Wherein, in time past, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. These are referred to unbelievers. Verse 3, among whom also we all have our conversation. That's an old English word for our behavior. We all have our behavior in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby in nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were really a slave in our spiritual life. our spiritual life, we thought that we were free. We have a good mind to study, a good mind to understand things of this world, and maybe mathematics and different science and so on. But spiritually, we were in darkness, very deep in darkness. Verse 3 said that we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of our mind, who was corrupted. That's what we were. And maybe some people give you a tract, maybe your mother, like mine, read the Bible, and my grandmother, over and over again, and you understood what those words said in respect to the language and so on, but never clicked into your mind, because the darkness of our spiritual nature blocked all understanding. Thank God for the word "but." Look in verse 4 in Ephesians 2. But who is now? God, Deus, Elohim, who is rich in mercy. In other words, you and I do not deserve this. Mercy is God giving us what we do not deserve. I do not qualify for this. I did not did anything to acquire this meritorial work of God, but the mercy of God did it. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, when we were in jail in our mind and heart and soul, had quickened us, had resurrected us together with Christ. And then the greatest statement of the Bible, by the grace of God, we were saved. God gave us something we do not deserve, his own presence. And then in verse 6 said, and had raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Each one of us, we are his workmanship. You know, Moses was God's workmanship. And Joshua was God's workmanship. And you remember the people of the Old Testament, they were real believers. Each one of them was God's workmanship. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So verse 11 say, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and estrangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is a great day to celebrate this commandment. We have the Lord's Supper, which is a picture of the blood of Christ. And the commandment said that the great work of God, the great work that God did, is that he brought Israel out of Egypt. They have no armies. They have no weapons. They have nothing. Only God. That's what they got. Only God. And what was impossible for the people of Israel was possible for God. Remember Genesis 14, when Genesis 18, excuse me, with Abraham and all went to get Lot out of trouble. God said, nothing is impossible for God. So the identification of God's word, the identification of God's word is not the creation of a political empire, it's the God of the impossible. That is the identification of God's word, the God of the impossible. It is impossible for any one of us to be saved in our own. It is impossible for any one of us to think of God and turn ourselves to God, surrender to God, without the initial work of God. But when God touched our life and said, Anthony, today is your day, believe me, that child, doesn't matter how old you are, will come to God. Some people ask me, what if a person is a Mongoloid? Well, I have been corrected in my preaching by a Bongoloi boy. I was preaching a conference in Family Radio in Mission Spring. And sitting on my right side in the auditorium, there was a boy. I love him. What's the name of the boy? Tom. Tom was the son, is the son, of the, then the vice president of Family Radio. And we became body-body. And I was preaching, and I can't find the verse. And I was preaching, because I just had three or four notes, and then I developed the sermon. And I finished the sermon unhappy. Nobody knows this, but I finished the sermon unhappy. The boy called me, said, can we go to this room? I said, yes. And in the room, he opened his Bible, said, the verse that you were looking at right here, Pastor. And I cry to see the grace of God and the power of God in the life of people. If you have a child who he has some mental difficulties, mothers and fathers, don't panic. Don't panic. That child is not at the mercy of circumstances or at the mercy of nature. That child is at the mercy of God. Isn't that wonderful? At the mercy of God. And so here we have the identification of God's name, Jehovah, Jesus, the identification of his word. He does the impossible. So we pray here on Wednesday night, and we kneel down and pray by listing all the things we want to pray, knowing that those things that are impossible for us are possible for God. That's what I pray. That's what I came this morning at 6 o'clock here, and I pray because I know that God is the God of the impossible, and he can do what I cannot do, and so we better humble ourselves before him, you know. Thirdly, not only we have the identification of his name and the identification of his work, but the identification of his counsel. If you go to Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 3 again, right at the beginning, you find the next verse, the counsel of God. And look at what God said after he identified himself by his name and by his word. He said, now listen carefully to me. And he said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Wow, that God knows us. You know, he made us. Nobody knows a child except the mother. The mother knows that child. She made it. She knows that child. And nobody knows us except God. His counsel is, you do not have, please, you do, please, as God is saying, you cannot have other gods before me. Why? Well, Jesus explained it to us in Matthew chapter 6, page 564. If you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, page 564, you find there the counsel of God, why he counseled that we should not have other gods before him. Look at what Matthew 6:24 says. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate, let me get to the verse, hate the one, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And in this context, Jesus was talking mammon. Is a Arameo word for money, for riches. All right? And so God said, Jesus saying, if money is your God, then you cannot serve God. And we can replace that word mammon for anything else. And God is saying, please, do not do that. And you can recall in your mind many things that you can tell me who is your God. In moments when I was a student, my God was my school. When I was in university, my God, I was pushed so hard by my father to get 10. 10 is the maximum grade in South America. To get a 10, that, day and night, I remember. That's why I sleep very little, because I roll 3 or 4 days without sleeping, studying, memorizing. I have to score number one. Daddy will, say, what's wrong with you? And then study became my God. And later on, sport became my God. You know, last night I stayed until night to watch Argentina and Nigeria playing the soccer, the Cup of the World. And but that doesn't make any difference anymore. I just did it because it was convenient, and so on. But it doesn't get to me. But there are people who will call me and said, "Would we get a ticket for you? We go over there and we see the games." There are people, the sporting, you are in America, football, baseball, and all of these. There are people horse racing, and sport became the passion of their life, became their God. There's no Jesus, right? You cannot serve one and the other. Either you dedicate yourself to one and the other. One of the reasons I stopped playing professional football was because they play on Sunday. And the church told me, you cannot serve God and say this. Well, I got a good offering. See, I catch a ball. I got $10,000, 1957. We can make a building. We don't care about your money. We care about your God. Who is your God? Then you are 17, 18, 19, 20. You don't listen to anybody until a tiny little girl said, "Is the ball of me?" And then the whole thing changed around. See what I mean? Let's be careful. Because Russell brought the question on the teachers' prayer meeting. I love today. Thank you, teachers. Thank you. We have a great prayer meeting. Thank you. You don't know how filled my heart when I see a lot of people praying. Because I know that God's work. And Russell brought the question that we still have this old nature. And we better have that in mind, not as a diminish your power, but as an alert. As an alert. All right? As an alert. And so here's the Bible saying to us in a clear way, I want to be served myself. That's why we don't have pictures of Jesus. People paint Jesus. Well, nobody paint Jesus. How come? God preserved that so that we do not worship a picture. We worship the true God in our heart. All right? And we have pictures of emperors. In the book of history, we have pictures of the times of Jesus of different people. But the Bible, God preserved that nobody, well, who cares about Jesus? So nobody painted him. And so some people put, well, he was a Galilean. He was a dark skin. Well, you go to the beach 2 days and you get that dark skin. That doesn't mean that. Nobody have a picture of Jesus. God preserved that because we do not worship a picture. We do not worship a statue. We do not worship anything else except Jesus. And the only way you find Jesus in the Bible is not that outstanding. It's not that outstanding. So what is the whole sermon in a nutshell? How can we put the whole sermon in 3 minutes and give us a message for us? I found it in Acts 4 and verse 12, page 564. Acts 4 and verse 12. I will read in the paper, just glance the paper on Sunday on religious affairs. And there are big schools of religions. One is called Tolerance School. The other is the Narrow Path. And Tolerance School of Christianity is that, yes, Jesus is our Savior, but we need to be understandable of everybody, and we better learn from everybody to see how they get to heaven, how wrong they are. Look at Acts 4 in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For, said the Bible, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, my loved ones, don't pray in the name of anybody except in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. Don't trust anybody, include this pastor, except Jesus Christ. Please, he is God, and he said, have no other gods before me except me and me alone. That's the commandment. That's what I hope you trust and believe. It's not read the Bible, call me and let me sit with you and show you a scripture after a scripture how Jesus demands exclusive ownership of our life and adoration. And when you do that, you surrender your life to a God who is your Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that our God is the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Father, that this God, Jesus, is the Savior of our life. From time to time, Father, in our own life, something become a part of us who is between us and Jesus. Oh, God, help us to notice that and quickly move to the right path. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Our God. There's nothing more extraordinary than to praise God, I tell you. Now let's see if I remember. It's Mike Murphy, is Ken, and Brother Joe Plica. I think I'm okay. I remember the chart. All right. For us, deacons, please come forward for the Lord's Supper. And you people may sit. And as I we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper, may I tell you that if you're a guest here this morning, to feel free to participate. The only thing you have to know is that you are a believer. You have to be a believer in the heart in order to participate. Nobody's going to ask you if you're a believer or not. You answer to God for that. The Bible said, don't fool yourself, because if you try to figure out that you're a believer and show that you're a believer and you are not, you add to your sin more sin. And so that's it. I don't want to put more pressure than that. Now, an easy passage to remember the Lord's Supper is at Matthew 26, at verse 26. The Bible said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, look at what Jesus said. It's remarkable. Take it, this is my body. You know that a piece of bread is not the body. It is a representation of the body. And so when we partake of the bread, we take a representation. We are saying together as a body of believers, we are saying the body of Christ took my place. That body took my place. All right? So we're going to ask the deacon to stand, please. The bread is going to be passed, and you hold it until the pastor is served, and then we partake all together. Brother Ken, will you thank the Lord for the bread?
Let's pray. Lord, we're just so grateful that we could be in your house this day, Lord, that we could be worshiping you. We learned this morning in Sunday school, Lord, that we're dead to the law, and we're alive with Christ, Lord. And as we celebrate this time, God, that we get to see in our hearts, Lord, that you died for us and the price that you paid. Help us just to live as sons and daughters should, Lord, alive in Christ every day. Help us to draw closer to thee. Help us use this time as a time just to remember what you've done for us, Lord, as we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.